The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Fam, hitting you guys with another TFA throwdown. Today we're going to be talking about DJ Chark and DK Metcalf. Both of those receivers, according to 4-for-4 ADP, are going back-to-back positionally. DK Metcalf is going at wide receiver 22, DJ Chark coming right after him. And in terms of ADP, they are going at 508 and 511, respectively. I'm just going to jump right into it here. Talk about my guy, my pick, DK Metcalf. And he's also one of my, if you missed the episodes earlier in the year, one of my hashtag nuts on the table takes that I can see him finishing as a wide receiver one. My argument for DK Metcalf over DJ Chark is simple, is I don't think we've seen anywhere near the ceiling what DK Metcalf can produce, which is kind of crazy considering in his rookie year, he put up 900 yards on, I think it was just like 58 catches. He also posted one of the lowest catch percentages from a Russell Wilson receiver over the past couple of seasons. Obviously, I'm expecting that to increase and to get better. And even if it doesn't, he only had, I think it was like 100 targets. So his target percentage is going to have to jump up an immense amount in order for him to have a huge year this year. That's one of the things that's keeps coming back to DK Metcalf whenever you hear people talk about some of the, maybe some of the warts on his profile is that he's not going to be 140 target kind of guy. And I don't think he is either, but I think with Russell Wilson, one of the most efficient quarterbacks that we've seen over, during his entire career, he's not going to have to get 150, 140 targets. I think he can still produce a wide receiver one season on 130. He had 100 last year. If he just gets two more per game, that puts him right at that 130 mark. If you look at what he did last year in his rookie season, among rookies with at least 50 catches in their rookie year, Metcalf is ninth in yards per reception with 15.5. In the 2019 season, he had the 15th highest ADOT among wide receivers with at least 80 targets. I think everything is just setting up for him to absolutely smash. I know Tyler Lockett's there. He's not going away. I don't see this being an instance where all of a sudden DK Metcalf is getting 130 targets and Lockett's going down to 90. I think both of these guys are going to be able to eat. Like I said, I'm just hitching my wagon to Russell Wilson versus hitching it to Gardner Minshew. I do believe that DJ Chark is going to have the higher target volume, but with Russell Wilson, I don't think that's going to matter. We saw what DK Metcalf was able to do and how they were able to bring him along and get him more integrated into that offense. During the second half of the year, they were using him across the formation in different ways. So I just think everything, like I said, is just setting up to absolutely smash for him. I think his ceiling is higher than DJ Chark's. I think last year was the best we could hope for him, which was, I think he finished as wide receiver 14. Still a really good season in his own right, but with DK Metcalf, I don't think we've scratched the surface of what he's going to be able to do. I might be a year too early on it, but even in redraft, I still want DK Metcalf over DJ Chark.
You done?
I think we can just end it now. I don't even think it matters what you say.
Oh, it definitely is, because we got to talk about my boy, DJ Chark.
DJ
Chark. Because you had to go there, really? You had to be that guy? You just couldn't let it well enough alone? You're right. I had to go there. Can we just, let's just edit that out. anyways, so this one's easy for me. Again, it's like you're just throwing fastballs right down the middle, and I'm sitting dead red on a heater, and I just, you know, just crush it out of the ballpark.
Was that a bunt?
Listen, no, just, I mean, I can't get out of here and just like get up and just, you know, I'm restricted. I got headphones on, you know, I don't got all that. Okay, DJ Chark, listen. One, the guy's already broke out. Like, this isn't talking about him breaking out. He's already broke out. He broke out last year in year number two. The dude's an absolute baller. He's the number one wide receiver on the Jaguars. Last year, prior to his injury, because in week 14, he suffered an ankle injury, which ended up knocking him down to wide receiver 19 in fantasy points per game. Prior to that, he was wide receiver 8. He was on pace for a wide receiver 1 season and it already. Right? And for a lot of people, I mean, he came out of nowhere. People weren't expecting DJ Chark to do what he did. Last year, he had 117 targets, a 22% target share, 73 receptions, 1,008 yards, 8 touchdowns. Like I said, he had that 14.9 fantasy points per game. He also had the 7th most red zone targets, 9th most end zone targets. He had the 4th lowest drop rate, and he also averaged 8.2 yards per target. And was, like I said, wide receiver 8 in fantasy points per game prior to his injury week 14. Now, his current ADP is wide receiver 23, 609. Get all the way the fuck out of here with that. Like, he was better than that last year. Now, all of a sudden, what? He's going to fall off, I guess? I don't get it. I think he's being majorly undervalued. I think he's somebody that should be going at least early 5th, somewhere around that range, I think. I think he has clear wide receiver 1 upside, and you're getting him in the 6th round. Like, I will take that all day. If you look at Jay Gruden, they brought in Jay Gruden to be the offensive coordinator for this offense. Jay Gruden's offenses have ranked top 15 in passing yards in 5 of his 9 seasons, and he's also finished top 15 in passing touchdowns in 6 of 9 seasons. There's a lot to like here with my boy DJ Chark. I think if you look at this team, they still have D.D. Westbrook, Chris Conley, hashtag for the brand, Keelan Cole, and LaVisca Chenault. I think LaVisca Chenault's a guy they're probably going to – they've talked about it this offseason that they're looking to kind of move him all around the formation. They're going to use him in many different ways. And so I don't think that factors in. So I think clearly D.J. Chark is the number one target in this offense. And now, you know, now I understand the concern. Obviously, Gardner Minshew is not Russell Wilson. But I think that they're very likely he has far more volume than he does. Now, of course, Russell Wilson is one of the most efficient quarterbacks we've seen in the last – I don't know, 10 to 20 years. The dude's a baller. There's no denying that. But I think Minshew can take another step forward this year. Last year,
the future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
He had 65.8 completion percentage, which ranked 3rd among all rookie quarterbacks since 2016. And it wasn't just his accuracy that was impressive. He also ranked 6th in passing yards per game, 5th in passing touchdowns, and tied for the 4th highest adjusted yards per pass attempt over the same span. He mentioned also finished deep 5th in deep ball completion percentage, and 6th in play action completion percentage among quarterbacks 2019. Now, well, I say that to say this because DJ Chark, one, is a terrific athlete. He's a 4.34, 98th percentile speed, and he's also got a 132.5, 93rd percentile burst score. Like, the dude's just a baller. I think he's only getting better. I think in this offense that I think he can actually see an uptick in targets, especially considering what happened last year. I mean, with 117 targets last year, his second year, his third year, I think you could see somewhere in that 135 range. And I don't see any reason that he can't hit 1,200 yards and at least 8 touchdowns. So in getting that in the 6th round, it's just really hard. So now why would I take him over DK Metcalf? Again, I think Tyler Lockett's the guy that I would rather have in this offense. I like DK Metcalf. I think DK Metcalf will certainly have boom weeks. I think as things progress, if they actually release Russ and let him cook, right, that's what we've been waiting for forever, I think that then this would be a little bit different of a conversation. But until that happens, I just can't trust that in this offense. This offense still wants to be a run-first offense, to run the ball. Their defense is certainly better than what the Jaguars have. The Jaguars spent a lot of draft capital on that. But, you know, I'm not banking on that. I think the Jaguars' defense is going to be terrible. I think they're going to be forced to throw the ball a ton. And in this John Gruden scheme, I think DJ Chark could really, really cook. I mean, you go back and look at AJ Green's numbers. I think it was 2013 to 15. I mean, the dude balled during that time span. And there's a lot of similarities between DJ Chark and AJ Green if you really look at them. DJ Chark is obviously a little bit more athletic than he is, more straight line speed. So for me, it's easy. It's DJ Chark. It's DJ Chark season. Again, 609, wide receiver 23 is egregious to me. He should be going higher than that. And take him all day in your drafts at 609. That's all I got. That's all I got to say about that. Good day, sir.
Yeah, I mean, just to put a bow on it to wrap it up, I think Chark is going to have the target volume in his favor. But like I said, with Russ and with how efficient he is, I just don't think that he's going to have the same amount of target volume that Chark is going to have. Obviously, we want more targets in general, but I don't think that is a prerequisite for a Russell Wilson-led offense. Like I said, he had 100 targets last year. He had 900 yards on like a 58% catch percentage. When you look at his top pass catchers from like the past 3 or 4 seasons, those have typically been in like the mid to upper 60s. So if Metcalf can even just improve on that, catch a couple more of those balls, like he does, like I said, he doesn't have to get that 130, 140 targets. Where I do see Chark kind of ending up, you know, he definitely has the higher target upside. But at the end of the day, you were talking about athletes and freaks. I mean, look at who he's looking across from here. He's not looking across at some slouch. What, just because he can't turn left or right? That dude's an absolute freak as well. So the athleticism thing between the two, I don't think is that big of a differentiation point. I'm just hitching my wagon to that Russ Wilson train and let that boy cook, would you?
Well, I've been waiting for it too. I've been waiting for it. Pete Carroll, get out of here, you old man. Okay, you're holding our boy back. You're wasting this guy's career, not letting him just go out there and just unleash Russ. That's what I want to see, 1 year of just Russ completely unleashed, right? Just saying, you know, whatever. I don't know. Anyways, I will say this too. Another thing about DJ Chark is that he was never utilized really as much as a deep threat as he should have been. His yards per reception certainly wasn't where you were looking for, but the dude was an absolute baller. Like, that was one of the things coming out of college at LSU. He was, I think he had like a 97th percentile yards per reception. It was like 21.6 or something like that coming out of college. So he certainly has the deep ball in his game. We know he has that deep speed for days as well. And like we talked about with Gardner Minshew, I mean, he was 5th last year in deep ball completion percentage. So if that can carry over this year, especially with the play action, a more a better play caller in Jay Gruden. I think Jay Gruden's a better offensive coordinator than he is head coach. So with all those things considered, like, I think it's wheels up for DJ Chark in 2020. And that's all I got to say about that. Drop nuts on the table, DJ Chark. Drop so in the comment section below. Let us know who are you on. Are you on the DK Metcalf or the DJ Chark train? Okay. Just let us know. And that's all I got to say. Cody, if I don't know if you have anything else, just make sure you hit that like and subscribe button. Let's go.
That's it, man. Like, subscribe, drop some comments. Let's get some conversation going. Whatever you're watching on, we appreciate all the support and all the feedback we've been getting. The YouTube channels, that those numbers are starting to, got to pump those numbers up. Those numbers are pumping up. So whatever you guys are watching on, listening to, we appreciate all the support and the feedback. drop some comments. And if also, if you have some draft decisions that you've been coming across, you've been facing, that you want to hear us kind of throw down and give our two cents on, let us know that as well. We are here for you. We're here for the people. This is a fantasy content for the people. So we are going to, you can't come on. I'm trying. If you're listening to this on podcast form and you're not watching, just do yourselves a favor, run to the YouTube channel, just fast forward to the 13 minute mark, and you will see why I've been, I was just thrown off there at the end. Sorry for dragging this on. Like I said, just do the thing, the comments, the likes, the subscribes, thumbs up, smash it, do it. Bye.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.